You know, every year came a week when the evil Gora plants grew in my locality. The week was never fixed, but it happened during the monsoon, and the duration of those plants lasting was almost always between 7 to 9 days. It was believed that during those nights, all the bad people were empowered by this plant. The demonic spirits walked around into our locality, strengthening those with bad intentions in their mind. While these plants were good for those bad, it was bad for those good. There were strict rules followed by those who considered themselves good. 1. Do not watch those plants in the night when they suddenly start moving. Ideally, close all your doors and windows and stay indoors during those times. 2. Do not interact with water during night time, no matter what. If you do, then those demons would get a taste of your blood, and that would be the end of you. Not only you, but every individual in your bloodline will start to die, starting from the oldest and ending with the youngest. I remember this was a fun but scary at the same time belief I was a part of when I was a child. This was the time when I was at my native place living in a big joint family. All the elders of my grandfather's generation were still alive. Those were the good times before smartphones or social media or even the internet had reached my place. Why am I, a 30 years old guy, talking about that now? Because strangely, right now I am at this place. A time and place of my past. It's a strange feeling to relive the past, especially knowing that I am living a past moment. I have somehow traveled through space-time and am living that moment. The reason I say that is because I still have my smartphone in my pocket during the time when the rest of the world carries those small buttoned monochromatic phones. I don't obsess over that fact. I am back into my younger self, to a place I loved the most. Those were the good times when all I cared about was studying in school and playing with actual friends. It is one of those nights of evil Gora. My grandma warns me from doing those things I am not supposed to do. I go on to live the day as I mentioned above. Go to school, do some studies, return home, and play with local friends till the night. This is not the end of it. More fun activity is in store for me, as it is the time of my uncle's wedding. Our entire joint family is busy doing the preparations for the wedding the next day. Relatives from far places have returned for this special event, as the youngest of my father's brothers is getting married, last of their generation. In our common room, we have to set up statues of our god and goddess, and the bride's family has to pay tribute to them. Despite it being past midnight, there is a huge crowd in and around our big ancestral house. I am enjoying the moment playing with my cousins when suddenly I hear a scream from inside the common room. Running to there, I see trails of water originating from the feet of goddess's statue that suddenly turned blood red when came in contact with the red powder. Suddenly, my grandma shouts in horror, "Who touched the water? Who touched the water?" "I did," replies the youngest of my cousins. A 5-year-old girl naively comes forward accepting what she has done. Everyone gasps, fearing the consequence. That cousin's mother corners that little girl and starts shouting at her, saying, "How could you do such a thing? Why? Why?" She cries while scolding because she fears that her husband and her daughter, being of the same blood, will die. But she will survive since she married into this family. The horrors are visible on Auntie's face. "Why did you do it?" she repeats. The reason is very simple. As one of the rituals of the wedding, Every member of the incoming bride's family has to wash the feet of our god and goddess. But knowing that it is the night of evil Gaura, my family was careful not to touch the water, but let those not belonging to our family do the ritual. That's because those not living in our locality won't be affected by Gaura's curse. Suddenly, during the dead of the night, those Gaura plants start to shake frenetically. The little cousin starts crying while other members of my family start to panic. Some go looking for the eldest member of my family. The eldest brother of my grandfather had come from far to attend the wedding. Not fearing about their own ill fate, they want to see if the seniormost member is okay. Since I am too young to do anything of significance, I simply sit looking away from the plants. My parents are among those searching for the grand uncle. A while later, the shaking of the plants stops, as we see the grand uncle coming from far. He has a bad habit of smoking, so he had gone far from house to do exactly that. When he arrives, he is brought to a chair and made to sit. Everyone inquires about his health. He insists on being all okay, all good. But on pressing the same question, he says that he's a little out of breath. Hearing that gets everyone worried, including me. For the longest time, I never believed that Gaura thing was real. But now that it is happening in front of my eyes, the situation is totally different. Everyone in our family starts to cry as some people start hugging their near and dear goodbye. Suddenly, the bride's family comes to the common room, confused about the situation. Seeing the bride's father, my little cousin speaks, "I gave him water." Acknowledging that, the man replies, "Yes, I arrived late and you all were busy. My daughter told me about your ritual to water the feet of the god and goddess, so I did that. Since this little girl was the only person in the room, I asked her what to do and did that." He says all this, not able to understand what invited this kind of unusual reaction from us. We know that we can't shout at this man who is going to be the reason for our death. So we stand still instead. Meanwhile, my auntie resumes shouting at her little daughter. "Who told you to touch the water? Didn't I tell you what would happen if you did? Still?" Suddenly, the bride's father interrupts her. "She didn't touch the water. The utensil was too big for her to lift. So instead, she directed me and I did all the action myself." Hearing that confuses all of us. Then why is Grand Uncle feeling breathless? We all turn to see the chair where he was made to sit. He's not there. My grand aunt cries out his name. Hearing that, he steps out of another room asking, "Why are you shouting?" All my family members start shouting at him, asking about his health. He says that he is all okay. The reason he was breathless was that he was told to return home in a hurry. Now, as before, he is fit and fine. Relieved, all our family members return to their cheerful mood and resume the wedding process. I return to playing and having a good time. From a distance, I watch the procedure of applying haldi to the bride. It's a very happy moment for everyone, especially me, because I am living it for the second time. Suddenly, a thought hits me. I am not watching this moment for the second time. It never happened before. This uncle's wedding was very simple. I remember because I was saddened to learn that we weren't even invited to that simple wedding. But then, what is this? Some sort of alternate reality dream? A happy version of a past memory? This last thought sends a shiver down my spine. I had read somewhere that when we die, our brain sends a chaotic signal to show our consciousness a happy version of our past memory, so that the transition out of this current life is peaceful no matter how we die. Does this mean I am dead? While the rest of my family is enjoying, I am standing still, just experiencing this blissful moment, taking it all in for one last time. That very instant, I look for the two people closest to me. Back in the present, most of the people I see around me are either dead or not in touch anymore. The only two people who were always there for me were my parents. Coincidentally, younger versions of them are sitting in front of me in this dream. If this indeed is the last time I experience life as it is, as Beat Mal, then I wanted to end doing the thing I never did ever in my life. Suddenly, my body transforms into my older, present self. My parents have their backs facing me. Fearing I might not have any more time, I lean forward to give both of them a tight hug. I shut my eyes and say something I always felt but never said out loud. I love both of you. Suddenly, the moment withers away as all that remains is the darkness of the abyss. What is this? I don't have a body and yet I feel alive. I don't have a physical mouth or ear and yet I am able to hear myself talk. I don't have eyes and yet I am able to see the blackness all around. I don't know what this is, but one thing is for sure. There is life after death. Thank you.